What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another Retired Sides Pod. We're here again on a Sunday morning edition with my good friend Connor Cavanaugh, man. As a series of baseball games go off during the week, we have some very intriguing outcomes. The Rays are not going undefeated this season, and it looks like some of these teams are starting to shape in their offenses a little bit. Some of these pitchers are really starting to dominate their first couple starts and really putting themselves on the map. But all in all, man, how are you? How was your week? How was your weekend? And how's your Sunday morning so far since you've been awake for, 2 hours? So.
Yeah, a couple hours. To be honest with you, as a Yankee fan, I was starting to get a little worried that Tampa might not ever lose. I mean, Toronto and New York have had pretty solid starts to the season, and they're already 4 or 5 games back in the division. So, you know, good on Toronto to knock them off. And, yeah, a good week of baseball, and excited to get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start this off, man. We're going to start this off with a first segment of the Sunday of this pod. We're going to lead off, man. We're going to just kind of give a couple teams that I think caught all of our eyes this past week. Teams that are probably, you know, a lot of us will see coming into this, but I'm going to start off with a team that you just made clear, the Blue Jays, who knocked off the Tampa Bay Rays, knocked off that very great start to the season, but still a fantastic start to the season, but they got to their pitching a little bit. They started to score, they clutched up, they didn't allow, you know, Tampa Bay to continue to just roll through offensively. They shut down a little bit of their offense, but all in all, man, I think Blue Jays come in here. They win 2 out of 3 against Tampa Bay. Was it in Tampa as well? I think it was in Tampa now. Was it not in Tampa? No, it was in Toronto. It was in Toronto.
Yeah, it was in
Toronto. And for the Rays' sense, I mean, they only allowed them to score 3 runs on the Friday game. They only allowed them to score 2 runs on the Saturday game. And listen, sometimes teams come out and they look scorching hot. There's some offenses, like I'm going to use the Phillies as an example just because they have the number one batting average in the league right now. Does batting average mean anything? No, it does. It doesn't mean everything. But, and they're 5-10, so they stink. But Blue Jays, on the other hand, they're getting carried by this trio of guys in Vladdy and Bo Bichette, and even George Springer, I'm going to add to it as well, and Matt Chapman, who's a ginormous piece of part of this team. We'll talk about him later. But I think the Blue Jays, they're a solid squad. They're my World Series pick, as well as I forget the NL team. I'll think about it in a second. But they looked really solid in this game. They put up runs, didn't make any errors. The pitching staff did really well to finally neutralize that Rays lineup. And I think we're going to see this even out. The Rays aren't going to go on, and I don't think they're going to go on another 13-game streak here and end up being 26-4 and go nuts. They're going to have harder games up ahead. They're just going to. And I think going into this week of games for the Rays, that was the first thing I noticed. Said, yeah, their games are easier. They're going to get harder games, in-division games, and they're going to lose some games here. But the Blue Jays, for the most part, at home, took care of business.
Yeah, man. You know, definitely, you know, like I said, it was good to see Tampa go down. And even with, you know, those 2 losses, you know, now for Tampa Bay, they've already got a 3-game lead on Toronto and a 4-game lead on New York early on. So, you know, definitely, you know, still a great start for Tampa Bay, but Toronto now sits at 10-5. They've had a great start offensively. They're kicking and, you know, this is setting up to be a really nice 3-man race in the NL East.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
A 4-man race. You're not a Baltimore fan?
No, we'll see.
You're not an Ellie Rutschman fan?
You know, it would be exciting if they were, you know, if they were able to hop into it. I don't know. Maybe I think next year might be where they make the jump. But
I mean, yeah. No, I mean, again, a terrific start. A 10-5 start from the slouch on to be a 10-5 start and look that you're 3 games back in division early. It's like, what's going on? You got to, like, eliminate the outlier team here at the top of the division. But, yeah, you're right. It's going to be a fun 3-game race for the entire league. And we're wrapping up through 2 weeks, really, about 2 weeks of baseball, a little more than 2 weeks of baseball. And things are starting to get intriguing in these divisions early, with certain of these teams having fantastic starts. So there you go. But another team we're going to talk about, the Atlanta Braves, who, speaking of fantastic starts, they're 11-4. They took care of business against the Royals this past weekend. And I know you had some skepticism. you were a little bit skeptic on them coming in here, about they weren't dominating teams. They weren't like taking care of business when they had to, and they had a shaky up and down start for their standards. So I wanted to go to you and kind of see what has impressed you the most in this Braves team for them to go on this 5-game win streak now and kind of start to settle in to where they, I think everyone expects them to be as 11-4 top of the division type team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we kind of, you know, talked about this, and this has been, you know, kind of like the media with Tampa Bay. I mean, they didn't play good teams to start the year. And, you know, some people, you know, took a little bit of less stock, you know, in the winning streak, you know, in Tampa Bay because of that. For Atlanta, you know, I did talk about them, you know, early in the week, you know, for the, you know, losing out of 3-4, you know, against San Diego. And, you know, they did play, you know, the Reds, and they're, you know, playing the Royals right now. But like you said, a 5-game win streak, and, you know, to sweep Cincinnati at home and now go to KC, you've won the first two games. You know, I think it's big. I think it's definitely a bounce back. And, you know, now they sit at 11-4. So even with losing that 3 out of 4 at home against San Diego, they still have one of the better, you know, records in baseball, you know, through a couple of weeks. And, you know, when you take a look at, you know, at that division, I think it is safe to say that once Philadelphia gets healthier, they're going to be in a better place. I mean, they sit at 5-10 right now. That's obviously not where, you know, they're going to be projected to be long term. Miami's 8-7 right now, you know, which has been a little, you know, surprising for them. And then, you know, the Mets at 9-6, which we kind of expect them to be at the top too. But when Philadelphia does start to get into, you know, their actual form, you know, of what they're going to be, you know, long term this year, once again, that's going to be a three-team race in the NL East. And for Atlanta to, you know, take care of business against these teams early on in the year, stack up these wins while Philadelphia is struggling and while the Mets are trying to get, you know, a little bit healthier, that might be the division, honestly. If Philadelphia, you know, can't figure it out early enough, the Mets continue, you know, to be a little bit up and down. If Atlanta just runs away with it in April and May, it might not be a competition for the top of that division as the year goes on. So I think it is important, you know, no matter who you're playing, to get back on track. Atlanta certainly did, and already at 11-4, it's been a great start.
Yeah, absolutely. They played the series in Atlanta against the Cincinnati Reds, and each one of those games were a winning game. They won a 5-4 game, they won a 7-6 game, and they won another 5-4 game. So, I mean, those games were close. So I think a team like that, with that type of talent and that type of just that organization itself, with how they've pushed themselves into winning ways the past couple seasons, to be a consistent top of the East team, consistent top of the NL team, getting just early wins after you struggle against a series, you might look at yourself and think you should dominate a series like that. Just early on in the season when the Padres are kind of a little bit all over the place and there's still a lot of drama in that organization going forward, that those close wins early on, and then you go and take care of a weaker team and dominate them, that definitely gets them off the shine a little bit and gets them really going and kind of just gets the bats going, gets the group of team going. And you know how baseball is, man. Everyone, you see the ball, find some grass. That might be all you need to start really taking off and continue your hot streak at the plate. And I think they took care of it. They were scoring, they scored 10 and 9 runs against the Royals, which is, again, it's no small feat to do that against anybody, even though the Royals do, you know, they kind of suck. They do suck. They kind of suck. It is what it is. But let's move on. I agree with everything you said about the Braves. And I think one more team I want to talk about. Again, this is another team that you had a little bit of talk about, the Seattle Mariners. They came in to the start of the year not looking like the Seattle team that it was hyped about. The Julio Rodriguez's and the just the whole team, the Mitch Haniger trade, and all these guys coming in. It looked like they had a really slow start. And they did. And then they found a guy named Jared Kelenic who kind of did stop hitting home runs and extra base hits and getting guys going. And that's a guy in the middle of your lineup, in the bottom half of your lineup, that is going to excel this team forward. And I think he did that this week to really put them in a bunch. They had a walk-off win, which they play a lot of close games, this Mariners team. They play a lot of one-run games, which is remarkable to me. But they took care of Colorado this weekend. They took, I think, 2 out of 3 against them. And, again, they look very good, and I think this is great for their bounce back, great for their mental, because they expect to fight at the top of this division for sure. And with Houston not coming out, lighting the world on fire early, with all these other teams just kind of in the middle of the pack, the Texas Rangers are 8-6, you have the Angels at 7-7, Houston's 7-8, and they're 7-8 right there. So I think it was good for them to get a couple wins under the belt, which they should have, and start to regain their confidence at the top of that division and hopefully get back to the playoffs once again like we did last year.
Yeah, when we talked to when we touched on Philly, and I know we're gonna, you know, talk about them a little bit more, but how, you know, their slow start and how, you know, it's gonna take them some time to get healthy and hopefully ramp up and be what they're gonna be. Houston has struggled a little bit out of the gate. I don't expect them to take much more time before they start getting into form. I expect a switch to just flip within these, you know, next couple of series. So for Seattle, you really need to right now take this momentum and, you know, continue to carry it and start building, you know, towards a little bit of a winning streak in terms of series, because I don't expect Houston to be, you know, hovering around 500 for much longer. So, and if you want to win the division, you're going to have to keep up with them from the get-go. And obviously they have so far, but at 7-8 for both teams, there has been a slight opportunity for Seattle to get a couple of games that they haven't gotten. So now, you know, you're in a position where Houston has struggled and you have also struggled. But now when they start ramping up, Seattle has to keep pace with them. And that's where we're going to see if Seattle is the real deal or not.
Yeah, and Seattle's got a little bit of a tough road ahead. I mean, they finished up against the Rockies this afternoon. Then they have three. They play the NL Central gauntlet. They play three against the Brewers. They play three against St. Louis. And then they play three against Philly. So it could be a gauntlet. Philly looks like the weakest opponent here right now. But I don't expect it to continue. And then they play the Blue Jays. So they have a tough, like, just good 9-12 game stretch, which it's an early season test to see how much they bounce back right away. This is one of the tougher parts of their schedule for sure. So we're going to see how they handle that situation. And if they want to, like you said, compete with that team, they're going to have to take care of, at least win a majority of these games against good opponents and say that they're, you know, they're actually the real deal here to stay for sure. So,
yeah. Yeah, just to touch on Kelnick. I mean, I don't know if people remember a couple years ago, this, he was Julio Rodriguez before Julio Rodriguez. He was their top prospect outfielder. He showed a ton of power from the left side. But when he came up, there was immense struggles. He was pretty much, you know, almost hitting under 100. Even last year was real struggles. And, you know, talking to or, you know, listening to, you know, some of the Mariners media this offseason, there was real questions if he was even going to get, you know, time in the majors to start the year. There was talks that, you know, he might start down in AAA. Because his production just has not been there. So for him to get to this, you know, to get off to this great start is huge for them. And it adds a whole nother element to this Mariners team that I don't even know if they 100% expected to have on this roster because of how bad he has been up to this point. So that's a huge dynamic for Seattle if he can keep playing like that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So let's move on actually to our next segment. We'll talk a little bit more about Jared Kelenic. So we're going to go to the heart of the order, man. We're going to go through three guys that really stand out to us. I think in this last series, wrapping up a prior series, just getting into the end of the week, and guys have looked really sharp. And we'll start with Jared Kelenic, man. And he, again, I mean, his stats-wise, hitting-wise, this so far to start this season, he's been at 356. He's hit four bombs. His OPS over 1,100. And, I mean, the guy's really been the superstar so far, what that team expected to have. If you can get him going, you have Julio Rodriguez and himself out there together playing really good baseball. Listen, if that's your future, why you made the trade with the Mets in the first place, why you got rid of the Edwin Diaz, because number one, you don't pay guys, so they didn't want to pay Edwin Diaz, so they sent him away. And you get a guy like Jared Kelenic in return, who is supposed to just be a similar type player on the offensive side of the ball, as dominant as Edwin Diaz was for them. So I think this is so far a very, very great sign to see. I really, really hope it continues, because the kid, man, his swing, he's got an electric swing. It's a sweet swing. Yeah, you know? Yeah. He's a sweet dude. I really like it a lot. I think him and Julio, if they continue to feed off each other and get the energy off each other, this team can really start to ramp up once they find the rest of that offense.
Yeah, you know, you said it perfectly. I mean, you have Julio, you know, from the right hand side of the plate, who's going to do everything, and he's already the superstar of the Mariners. And Kelenic does definitely bring a little bit of a different dynamic. Julio is, you know, a little bit more all around, and, you know, obviously has a ton of power. Kelenic, to me, just with the kind of swing that he has, he just screams to me just straight power and speed. Yeah. You know, which can be violent in an offense, you know, like that, because they do have some guys who, you know, can get on base at a pretty good clip, who aren't going, you know, to be, you know, big OPS guys, mm-hmm. you know, like JP Crawford, you know, and Travis Swaggerty. So, you know, when guys are going to get on base, you do need a couple boppers, you know, to, you know, to produce, you know, big OPS numbers. And, you know, Eugenio Suarez has had a really good start for them as well. So, you know, if those three guys can really go, you know, Kelnick being from the left side, it just makes that offense, you know, just so much more dynamic.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Julio hasn't really seen that many pitches, really. I feel like this so far this season, he's getting pitched around a lot because he's really the number one guy, obviously, in that offense. So him to pick up the slack, man, is a great sign. And I think without him, they have a rough start. So very fun to see him play well. I hope he continues it because the guy's electric when he's up there and he's got his swing going. But we'll move on to another guy that I think kind of haven't talked about in a long time. Haven't really seen anything about. He's in a Blue Jays, man. Blue Jays uniform now. He's been around the block. He's been around everywhere. Matt Chapman. He was in the – I mean, people leave Oakland, man. And the sigh of relief that they get when they leave Oakland is probably the biggest sigh of relief they can ever get in their entire life, in their entire career. So he goes to the Blue Jays, gets to feed off that insane lineup that they can put out, and he's had an incredible start. He's batting .453. 3 bombs, 15 RBI to start the season is very, very big numbers. And again, a 1291 OPS for Matt Chapman. And he's never had this offensive output to him. He's always been like the defense first guy. He's had power to like one side of the field. And, you know, he's a gap hitter, but he's showing basically a little bit of everything so far this season and a dynamic player so far for that Blue Jays lineup. And I know you see firsthand more times than not now when you're going to play the Blue Jays a lot in that division. Matt Chapman plays like this, how scary can that lineup really be?
Yeah. Once again, I mean, Chapman can just add a whole nother dynamic to this lineup. This lineup without him is one of the scarier in baseball. I mean, from a Yankees perspective, these, you know, first couple of years in Toronto for Chapman, he hasn't really scared me, to be honest with you. I mean, his overall numbers have come out to be, you know, okay. But when you watched him at the plate, you know, when the Yankees did play the Blue Jays, he wasn't one of the guys who scared me. But they have a lot of guys in that lineup who do. So if you just add another guy on top of that, I mean, you know, having to get through, you know, Bichette and Guerrero and Alejandro Kirk and now Chapman, and, you know, I got to be missing somebody because that whole lineup 1 through 9 is just professional hitters. And it really would, you know, just add a completely, you know, new dynamic, you know, to that offense. Because he really hasn't, since he's gone over to Toronto, been the Matt Chapman that that we saw in those last 2 years in Oakland when the offense did start to really, you know, make the jump. And, I mean, Toronto has, you know, a great offense even without Chapman. With Chapman going like this, I think they have the potential to be the best offense in baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And I mean, not that he hasn't had the protection now, but I mean, the amount of protection that's around him, I mean, it's basically pick your poison of who you want to throw to. So, like, he might get more pitches to hit just because he's the weaker of the guys in the middle of that lineup. And you might see him as well. If I don't want Vlad to hurt me, I don't want Bo Bichette to hurt me, I don't want George Springer to hurt me, I don't want Craig Biggio to hurt me. Maybe I'll let Matt Chapman hurt me. And if he hurts me, he hurts me. And so far, I think he's kind of – that philosophy, I feel like, is what pitchers are kind of going with. Because when they face this team, I mean, it's not easy to face this team throwing the ball. So you kind of pick your poison on who you want to choose to attack. And I think Matt Chapman's been the guy so far. And he's just capitalized on pitches that he's able to hit. And I think he himself – he looks better at the plate, too. I've watched a couple games. Like, he – I used to watch a lot of time when he was in Oakland and, like, the whole talk, anytime someone wants to get traded or whatever goes on and you have a guy obviously on weaker teams, like, well, a standout guy on a weaker team, yeah, he should get chipped off somewhere. So watching him play then, he never really, again, you even said it, he didn't look like this in Toronto for the first couple seasons. He didn't look, he didn't really had like a crazy offensive output to him. But when you're playing in Oakland, you have nobody there around you at all. I think eventually once you get comfortable, once you really build up and see what your offense is, to see how Vladdy has grown, see how Bo Bichette has grown into these much, much better hitters than when they all first came up. Now he looks like a superstar in the making, but he's not in the making. He's like 30 years old, 29 years old. So he's up there, not up there, but he's up there compared to the rest of the guys. They all look like daycare kids, the rest of the dudes on that team. Yep. They're all young. So, I mean, hey, good for Matt Chapman. I think it's a great bounce back so far this season. They definitely, I don't even know if they need it, but goodness, they definitely could absolutely use it. So on the next, man. You want to mention this guy? I know he's a New York favorite of yours.
New York favorite. Why don't you give it to me?
Well, Mr. Sonny Gray, he played for the Yankees. What was it, two seasons ago?
Three years ago,
man.
And it's been a while. It's been a while since we've had
COVID really screwed everything up. I feel like everything just got fast forwarded.
Yeah, he was pretty cool.
The guy couldn't pitch in New York. I think it scared him a little bit. Understandable, you know. It is what Yankees fans don't like it, but here he comes. He played fantastic last season, year before last, in Cincinnati, and played really well. Played to a Cy Young caliber year, three quarters through the year. And now here he is again, pitching extremely well. And this is what he's been kind of like throughout his career, except for the hiccup in New York and hiccups in other places. But he's been a very solid pitcher. And here he is again, starting off the year 2-0, 0.53 ERA, start the year 17 innings pitched. With 19 Ks, the strikeout numbers aren't going to kill you, but he gets the job done. He gets the ball on the ground, and he gets outs. And I think this is the guy that, again, you wanted to see. A lot of major league teams have seen throughout his entire career. And I think if he pitches like this, man, and continues to pitch like this, that adds another layer to this Twins lineup. That's kind of – the Twins are a really weird team. They've had a really good start, and I'm kind of surprised by the start. I didn't think the Twins were going to be as electric, as good as years pass, because they continue to just miss, or they continue to never get far enough. And the team kind of, and the Byron Buxton, obviously injuries that happened throughout his career, blow up on this team's face. But you don't really, they never really had a face of this team other than Byron Buxton. So now they get a pitcher that is a, could be the face of this team and hopefully carry them to continue in a weaker division this season, but a good one nonetheless, and hopefully push them forward, because I know they're playing the Yankees, I think, next week. Again, I saw.
Yep.
They're playing Yankees next week, so they're going to play him again and see how it goes there. But Sonny Gray's been a fantastic eye opener once again to start a year.
Yeah, you know what? You said it. You said it absolutely perfectly. everywhere else he's gone except New York, he's been great. I mean, not even good. He's been great for the most part in his career. I mean, in Oakland, he was, you know, in the Cy Young conversation. You know, came to New York. You know, couldn't handle it. You know. And then, like you said, in Cincinnati was, you know, in the Cy Young conversation. And now, you know, he's off to, you know, one of the best, you know, starts in baseball right now. I mean, the guy's been a great pitcher in his career outside of New York. And I don't think it should be a shock to people anymore, because he's done it pretty consistently at this point, if you take New York out of that equation. So I really do, you know, looking at the rotation for Minnesota, I do like the rotation. I think it, you know, is much improved with Tyler Mahle. And the bullpen has looked really good for Minnesota so far. And, you know, I've seen a couple of games, you know, this week. And, you know, Minnesota does look really good to me. So, you know, definitely excited to see, you know, what the season looks like for them moving forward.
Yeah, Minnesota, I feel like, has really had the identity to this team in a while. They really have, like, a go-to area where they kind of dominate in. And if the mixture of Joe Ryan, I think – obviously, Tyler Mahle, like you said, and himself and Sonny Gray, that three-headed monster, for whatever it is, can really pitch really well. I mean, it's a bunch of underrated guys that can go out there and pitch their balls off time to time. And if they're going to do that against really good lineups, they already played Houston, they played the New York Yankees. I mean, they're pitching against good competition so far and excuse me, and get the job done. So very exciting to see. But let's move on, man. Let's move on. And now let's take a call to the pen as the third segment of our Sunday. We haven't done a Sunday. Have we done a Sunday one? We did. Well, we did the Sunday one, but we haven't really went segment by segment here in a little while.
Yeah.
So let's move on. Call to the pen. We're going to talk about some teams that only a few teams. Teams that need some help, need some pen relief, and might be looking forward to, like, giving our expertise, of course, on how to fix their team up so far. And again, one team that comes to mind. I mean, I'm just going to chat about it because it's. I'm watching it in full. It's just in HD and 4K. Philadelphia Phillies. Okay, they're 5-10 to start the year. Not ideal. They shut out 13-0 last night against the Cincinnati Reds. And Will Myers hit two home runs. The pitching staff is all over the place. I think their manager is trying to overmanage this bullpen to a point to where everyone doesn't have a role. everyone's all literally all over the place. The guys don't know where they're going to pitch, when they're going to pitch. I think that might be throwing them off a tad. I can't use that in any excuse whatsoever. But I'm watching Matt Strom, their right now, who's their fourth pitcher in this rotation, go out there and be their ace so far through two starts. And he gets a little roughed up in two innings last night. And then you go into this bullpen that has been nothing short of disappointing. And that's been the struggle. I mean, you're looking for a guy like Sir Anthony Dominguez to bounce back. He hasn't so far this season. He has an ERA over 12. You have a guy other than Jose Alvarado, who's been absolutely lights out. Everyone else on this team has been subpar. The hitting has been there. Not this last night, but the hitting has been there. The running scoring position has not been there, hitting with running scoring position. But again, the bullpen, the overmanaging of the bullpen, I think they have to find roles for these guys. They've blown a couple games this season already, which is going to hurt them if it happens all year. Hurt them early last year, and they somehow became their strength at the end of the season. So they need to find this again. Again, hitting's been there. I think getting their starters back, getting Ranger Suarez back is a key to this team. Getting Andrew Painter healthy, hopefully he gets healthy, is another key to this team. But overall, man, their pitching staff and their bullpen has been absolutely abysmal, and that's an area they extremely need help in for sure early on.
Yeah, definitely. I'm gonna stay in the National League. I'm gonna go to the Cardinals. We talked about them earlier in the week. But they just continue to struggle. I mean, Wilson Contreras, you know, their big acquisition coming over. He's hitting under 200 right now. He does not look good. And then, you know, in the pitching staff, you know, you have Miles Michaelis, who has an ERA over 10 right now. I think, you know, there have been guys on both sides who, you know, are doing the job. You know, Arenado's hitting .328 right now. Nolan Gorman has 4 home runs. So, you know, there are guys, you know, who are hitting. And then Jordan Montgomery with 2 wins. Jay Flair with a 1.76 ERA right now. So, like I said, there are guys doing the job on both sides, but there just hasn't been enough consistency for them. Right now, I know it's early. They're in last place in that Central right now, in a Central, you know, where you have the Cincinnati Reds and the Pittsburgh Pirates.
The Pirates.
Yeah, and the Pirates, you know, they're playing with a lot of energy. Cincinnati, to me, looks like they're going to at least compete in a lot of their ball games this year. So, you know, for St. Louis, I'm a little concerned about them at 6-9 right now. They need to get a little bit more consistency, you know, out of some of their bigger guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we can't lose series to the Pirates. You can't lose series to the Pirates. I don't care if it's in Pittsburgh. I don't care what your team is. I mean, you can't lose series to the Pirates when you're that good of a caliber of team, when you're that good of an offense, when your pitching staff is supposed to be one of your strongest points of this team, your bullpen is supposed to be one of the strongest points of this team, and they're all around, they're a very solid team. And they need to get it clicking for sure. So that's definitely a good point. Do you want to go with another one, or do you want to just move on? Because we can go another one if you like.
You
can move on.
Let's move on.
Listen, week to week, there's going to be one team, I think, that we're going to probably notice the most about. And I know I can just ramble on the Phillies, so that's probably bad on my part, because I can't stop watching this team just suck, because they suck. So, and I mean, I'm laughing about the Cardinals and the Pirates. They're 5-10. So, it is what it is. But let's move on, man. Let's move on to Popcorns and Peanuts. My favorite one, because I just love the name of it, because I'm a little kid in the candy shop when it comes to stuff like that. But Phil's Yanks, man. Let's talk. I'm going to go with you first. Give me this Yankees Twins breakdown on the series and just how the team's looking so far, man. I mean, what is it? 2 weeks in, so yeah. Just let me hear about it because I'm excited.
Yeah, they sit at 9-6, third in the division. We talked about Tampa and Toronto. They're ahead of them right now. 4 games set began on Thursday at home against Minnesota. They gave up 9 runs in the first inning on Thursday.
Oh, yeah, that's tough.
You know, Johnny Brito did not have it. They ended up losing that game 11-2. And then Anthony Volpe hit his first career home run on Friday night to lead off the game in the bottom of the first inning. Well, not lead off the game, but lead off the bottom of the first inning. You know, Judge backed him up. They went back-to-back to lead off the game, and they ended up losing 4-3. and we actually did see a game like that in Cleveland as well, where, you know, they score early, and then their offense just doesn't do anything, you know, for the rest of the game. They end up losing that one. They blow it late with Clay Holmes, you know, giving up a couple of runs in the 8th inning. And then yesterday, a really nice win. You know, Domingo Herman was, you know, pretty dominant, had 11 strikeouts in 6 in the 3rd innings. Offensively, they were able to get some early runs and then tack on a few late, you know, a nice easy game, really no nothing to worry about. So they are losing 2-1 in the series. They do play at 135 today at home. Really need a series split here. I know the Twins are 10-5 and they have looked really good, but to lose 3 of 4 at home to Minnesota right now would definitely hurt, especially with Gerrit Cole on the mound today. And, you know, I talked a little bit about, you know, Gerrit on Wednesday. He's been really, really good in his first three starts. And I'm going to need a fourth one here. This is not a spot where I can have, you know, a blow up start, you know, for Gerrit. You know, everyone's awarded a couple of those throughout the year, but this can't be one of them. As a Yankee fan, I need a split here against Minnesota. You know, losing 3 out of 4 at home this early in the year to Minnesota wouldn't be a good look for me. It would leave a bad, you know, feeling in my stomach. So I need Gerrit Cole to come out and have a big one today.
Yeah, absolutely. I got one question for you, actually. So with the Anthony Volpe homer, right? After the game, I saw a reporter, you know, he asked a question, and, you know, he was all giddy up at his first home run, and obviously that was the game where they got blown out in that game, right?
Was that the blown no, game? Actually, no, that was the 4-3 game. That was the 4-3 game. Yep.
And I saw people on Twitter, right, kind of slightly blow up a little bit on why is he smiling and being so happy and but his first home run and a loss. I mean, I got to ask you, is that just – people just being absolutely moronic on Twitter and caring. I listen, they care about wins, right? But did that at all, like, just piss you off? Like, why can't people just let the kid have a moment type of thing?
Yeah, the only reason it didn't be is because I'm used to it from Yankees fans. I mean, there's a lot of Yankees fans that are spoiled, man, and it, you know, it's, you know, they don't care about all that little stuff, you know, unless it's gonna end in winning. You know, there's a lot of, you know, Yankee fans who don't care about, you know, the day to day and, you know, the people and, you know, the different little things, you know, that go on throughout a baseball season, you know, that we care about. They don't care about that. They just want to win. So they didn't really care that Volpe hit the home run because they ended up blowing the game in the eighth, you know, so I'm pretty used to it.
Fair enough. All right. That's all. Basically, I was just interested because I thought it was blasphemy when I saw it on. Again, I can't say anything because Phillies fans are the same type of way, but it's just I don't really have a rookie to get excited about. So, moving on. Phillies, man. On the Philly side of things, I already blabbed about the bullpen, so I'm not going to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. That's literally all it is to this team. It's just their bullpen blows up. The bullpen has been pitiful. But I want to talk about the bats and just how this Cincinnati series has gone. I mean, you win a 2 out of 3 series against the Marlins. Or, I'm sorry, you lose 2 out of 3 against the Marlins. You come in and beat Sandy Alcantara and beat him up. Kill him, and you look dominant. You win 10-3, 15-3 that game. You blow up. Everything works for you. Your pen's fine. Your guys are hitting the bats. You're scoring runs, score position. Then you go out in your last two games. You blow to the Miami Marlins. And you think, all right, listen, Marlins have had their number, whatever. You move on to what is now the Cincinnati Reds series, and you bounce in game one. You bounce in game two, and you win in game two, and then you just Saturday night, you get shut out 13-0. So I don't know where this team's at right now. I think it's a lot of ups and downs with this squad. I mean, a lot more downs than ups. I think the offense is going to carry you so much, but there's going to be times, man, where you need your pitching staff to just step up and do their job, and it hasn't happened. You can't lose series to the Cincinnati Reds and Miami Marlins this early in the year when you need to bounce back. So I think it's poor for them, but again, it's been the Phillies' nature. So, yeah, let's wrap it up, man.
One quick thing: how do you feel about Bryce playing first?
Oh, I like it. I think I like it simply because now I'm not worried about him getting back on the field earlier because I think he would DH anyway. But I think I like it a lot because you got guys now that can really play your outfield position. I think the DH spot, you can have Nick Castellanos take a day off. You can throw a Marsh. You can throw a you can even throw it if you want to throw a Josh Harris. Or you have a Jake Cave now and a Kyle Schwarber now, and you can have you have guys that can play the outfield. You can, I mean, if they want to do this, you can bring up Scott Kingery, who hasn't been in a while, had a very good spring. You could play him in the outfield for a couple starts, whatever, have him as a bench piece. But I think Bryce Harper playing first will honestly just take the strain off of even thinking about having to throw a ball a lot. Not that it would hurt him. I think eventually he'll move back to right field. And then when Derek All gets healthy, he'll be back at first base and he'll go out in right field and play his position correctly and play it in July. But I think it's nice. I don't, it's going to be a weird transition, see how it works. But if he can make it work, man, I think I'm all down for it. So Yeah, I'm excited for it. But all in all, kid, good show. Longer one. I think, again, a lot of blabbering, but it is what it is. But we'll move on out of here, and we'll get going. But Wednesday, man, I'll see you Wednesday for another one, and we'll get on to it. Sounds good to me? Sounds good to you?
All right. Okay. All right, man. Wednesday.
Right. Appreciate it, guys, for listening. This, again, this will be uploaded on Spotify. You can watch video version. You can watch the podcast version. It'll be uploaded on all your favorite audio sites as well. So thank you guys very much for listening, and we'll see you guys Wednesday.